Something coming faster than any of us can imagine and will change our lives in the most dramatic ways is AI.
And while AI used to sound freaky to me and just something that was going to take over my world, it really would have revolutionized my practice had I stuck around. Many of you know, I got so burnt out from charting. It was the big reason I left medicine because I was frustrated with the EMRs, the clunkiness, and the amount of time it took to learn them. Not only that, but not being able to sit and connect with a patient and look them in the eye, like one-on-one while you're actually interacting with them, the whole reason we went into medicine, not to do paperwork.
Yeah, so that's why May and I have started working with Lindy.ai, which is fascinating. They help you produce the most efficient notes, fully customizable, which is different than some other AI products, so you can do what you do best, which is see patients and let the artificial intelligence scribe do the dirty work for you.
Yeah, not only do you get the perfect patient notes the way you want, written in any format, for whatever specialty you're in, and maybe you're in ophthalmology or vet medicine, it will also create the note, scribe and send the patient follow-up instructions, referral letters, consultation notes. It's amazing. Lindy is offering our listeners a 7-day trial to experience the difference of their AI medical scribe. Go sign up at lindy.ai/bsfree to get started. That is Lindy, lindy.ai/bsfree.
Finally, a source of raw, real, and honest information on healthcare issues that matter most. Welcome to BS Free MD. From the latest medical information to how to stay sane as a doctor or a patient, no subject is taboo, no BS is allowed. Now, let's welcome your hosts, Drs. May and Tim Hindmarsh.
All right, truth bomb. This one's kind of heavy. We pay a little bit of tribute to a guest that we had.
Yeah.
Mr. Rocky Shorey, episode number 78, way back. Unfortunately, our friend and former skydiving buddy passed away at the beginning of April in a climbing accident. He lived his life absolutely to the fullest, was an absolute example of fitness, of health, of life, and unfortunately, one of those passions cost him his life. So we are going to talk about risk.
Not like we haven't talked about risk before, but I think it's important, not only just to pay tribute to him, but to focus on how people view life and when they're, I don't know, I think not living life to the fullest because they're afraid of risk. And then, I don't know if you want to do the reverse of that as well, doing unnecessary risk, but what were you thinking?
No, I think that's exactly it. I mean, I think that it's interesting because there's the English language is fascinating in a lot of respects because the word careless is derogatory because you don't want to live careless. You don't want to take risk that's unnecessary, but the word carefree is exactly the opposite. And so I think most of us, if we were really honest, we want to live a life of some contentment and ultimately carefree, right? Like, why do you want to have enough money to retire so you don't have to worry about money? You have less of a care. You know, why do you want to raise your kids to be responsible people so that they don't depend on you? You have less of a care. So there's carefree and careless. And I'm an action sports guy. I've done, you know, tons of skydives, lots of dirt bike riding, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, by the time I was 45 years old, I had witnessed two recreational fatalities, one in a swooping skydive landing accident and one in the sand dunes when I was riding a dirt bike. So the living, you know, the carpe diem lifestyle comes with a price.
Right. But as a physician, how many fatalities that were, I would say, premature because of just other types of risk, not high risk action sports did we see? unhealthy lifestyle choices, crazy things with motor vehicle accidents, that kind of stuff.
Right. I mean, so there's
so many more, right? You said you saw two fatalities from high-risk action sports. I'm thinking, but look at all the other deaths we've experienced because of not taking care of yourself and et cetera.
Right. You know, and I've always wanted to do an episode, you know, in defense of smokers and alcoholics. And just the whole concept of, you know, if you make it to 70 or 75, right? So maybe you've shaved 10 years off your life, but you were like a fun person and you partied a lot and you drank too much and you smoked cigarettes and you whatever. And you know, if you're Lemmy Kilmister from Motorhead, who drank a fifth of Jack Daniels every day and did speed and made it to 70 and never harmed anybody with his habits, you know, he wasn't driving around impaired. I mean, why is that? You know, how is that different than one of my friends that died in a base jumping accident and was 53? Or then Rocky, who died in a climbing accident, because climbing has inherent risk, you know, at 42. Is there a difference?
Well, I guess that's what the question is. Define what's a healthy behavior, what's an unhealthy behavior, what's a risky behavior, what's a unrisky, what's harmful behavior, what's living life.
Right? Well, no, So like my buddy, Michael Lemming, you can't make this up. His name was Lemming and he died jumping off a cliff. That's the honest to God truth in a base jumping accident. You know, so Lemming versus Lemmy. So Lemmy lived a terrible lifestyle. He smoked packs of cigarettes. He drank voraciously and he used speed basically for his entire life. And he got cancer at 70. From diagnosis to death was 3 weeks and he died. But he made it to 70 and he was a rock star. Okay. So he had this rock star lifestyle without the, you know, self, you know, without dying at, you know, 27. So how is that different than, you know, my buddy Michael, who died at 53 because he did, you know, he raced cars, he did all of this stuff. Like, is there a difference?
Well, I would say, yeah, right away, it's jumping out at me that there's the odds difference in that if you are going to smoke and drink and do, what we say, illegal drugs, substances, there's a pretty high odds game that you're going to have a negative health outcome, whether it's accidental overdose, drinking, driving, accident, and all the other health outcomes that come with smoking, such as COPD, emphysema, liver failure, alcoholic cirrhosis. I mean, come on, the list is long. So it's like, those aren't just like, this is a fun activity and there might be a little risk involved versus someone who is doing high risk sports. But if you're trained, I mean, think of all the people that do those kinds of things that never die. I mean, how many people died doing that compared to how many people suffered the health consequences of your rock star example? So right. I would say it comes down to known risk. And so, yeah, people do die doing the risk sports. But if you look at the grand totality, I would say it's much less than just be a rock star, do drugs, alcohol, and smoke because it's fun.
Right. But I love the provocative nature of this, because what I concluded, I thought a lot about this over the last week. And what I concluded is checking out in substances is not the same as checking out to the real world. Like, there's a reality aspect to the fact that the real world is painful. The real world is risky, but it's real. So, you know, smoking a bong and getting high and escaping the world, though occasionally maybe not morally reprehensible, if that's your recreation, I think that's a dark recreation. I don't think that's the same as taking the risk that my friends did in climbing and base jumping and all of these other things, because I think real life is better. Like, I think it's morally better. I think it comes down to a moral argument.
I would say, how many people listening climb ladders to hang their Christmas decorations?
Yeah. Well, there's that.
Or climb the tree to limit, or what, you know, we sadly you know, someone that passed just recently in a climbing up and, you know, the, I will just not say much more other than the risks that come from being in high places and encountering things that are up with associated with heights, doing everyday life. And you don't think, oh, I'm 65, I'm 70, I'm climbing a ladder because it's Christmas lights, but oh, you're jumping out of an airplane. That's crazy.
No, I know there's a whole element of risk, which is the, because I've done it for my whole life, it's no longer, it's not a risk, right? So we walk through the neighborhood here. We have lots of retired people. You see this 90-year-old woman that's 90 pounds walking two Labradors. And I'm like, you are one squirrel from complete oblivion.
Yeah.
You know, a squirrel runs in front of those dogs and they're going to rip your arm out and pound your head into the concrete and you will die. Now, having said that, if you made that scenario to some of those people, they'd say, I'd rather rock my dog and die than not. And I'm like, that's
yes.
fine.
Yes.
I fully accept that. I fully accept that. And that's the other thing. My friends fully accepted what they were doing. 100% understood that they may pay the ultimate price for living their life based on their terms. And, you know, we can bring this full circle, you know, back to the palliative care doctors that have done the studies where they talk to people and they say, what's the biggest regret? And if you look at men and women in totality, the biggest regret is I lived my life based on what other people wanted me to do, not on what I wanted to do. So you know what? If you make it to 42 or 53 or 75 or 110 and you lived your life based on what on the morals and the ethics and the goals that you set out for yourself, you freaking won the deal, regardless of what your age was. And you know, another shout out to Rocky. I cannot imagine him not doing those things. That was who he was. And it made him so unbelievably attractive to be around and to talk to.
And if you listen to the podcast episode
78,
he says it in those exact words. He, you know, he does these food challenges, which is really pretty fun. And we talked about all the overeating and stuffing. And he said, you know, because I like food, but I also love doing all these outdoor activities. And it's like what makes me alive. And that sums it up. I mean, he's living life and what fills his soul.
We have way too many people in this world trying to escape the anxieties of their life with substances or whatever it may be. Take your pick of bad habits and not actually doing things that make them feel alive. And this will be the challenge which we'll end this episode on. When is the last time you have done something that made you feel alive? And if you're not doing it and you're not pursuing it, why not? Because I think that's the bottom line and that's the legacy and that's what Rocky leaves to us. And if I keep talking, I'm going to start crying.
I thought it was a perfect moment of silence for him. So you know what? I think we just say bombs away and leave it at that.
It's no secret that medicine is a bit, uptight. That's why Tim and I created BS Free MD, to mix things up a little and have fun in the process. Besides, we are having these exact same discussions all the time, so we thought we might as well invite everyone to the party. If you really like us, you can get plenty more, and maybe see one of Tim's cool tattoos on our Instagram or Facebook pages at BS Free MD. See you next time.
While we try to keep BS Free MD as raw and real as possible, we can't be held responsible for any medical decisions or discussions had as a result of what you've heard on the show. We know, bummer. But the truth is, we really do care about your questions. So feel free to reach out to us by email at doc@bsfreemd.com.